Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, April 10th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Dan Pickett. Dan and his wife, Jenny, started attending Mountain Brook Baptist in 2005. They became members in 2007, and they have raised their two children here, Charlie and Lillian. I'm so grateful for Dan and his willingness to come and read for us on the podcast today, and I can't wait for him to share more about his life and faith at the end. But first, we hear you gladly, Dan.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate the opportunity to read for the Project 119 podcast. I will now read John chapter 21, verses 15 through 25 from the New International Version. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following him. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is Psalm 89. Verses 5 through 18. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly things? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crush Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endowed with power. Your hand is strong, your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness. For you are the glory and the strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel.
Thank you so much, Dan, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. We want to get to know you a little bit more. Tell me a little bit about yourself, your family, maybe where you're from.
Thank you, Mary. So I was born on an Army base in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, in 1976. My dad was in the Army when I was born. And then shortly after I was born, I moved to Statesville, North Carolina, which is about 30 minutes northwest of Charlotte, where I grew up and lived until I went to college. I'm the oldest of three. I've got two younger brothers, one of whom now lives in California, and the other one recently moved to Roswell, New Mexico.
And how did you meet Jenny?
So I met Jenny in my first year of law school. I went to undergraduate at Wake Forest and then came to law school at Cumberland School of Law at Samford. And Jenny was in my section within my first year of law school. And she would help me with homework and things like that. So that's where we met.
And tell me about your two kids.
So my son, Charlie, is 18 years old. He's about to graduate from Mountain Brook High School. My daughter, Lillian, just turned 15. She's in ninth grade at Mountain Brook Junior High.
Let me back up to you and Jenny. So she helped you with your homework, but was it love at first sight?
There was a lot of interest at first sight.
Okay.
We ran in similar circles. And actually, one of my friends during my first year of law school went on a date with Jenny that didn't go well. And then after that didn't pan out, she and I started dating.
You scooped her up.
I did.
Tell me what a normal day looks like for you.
So a normal day for me during the work week is get up about 6 o'clock. My daughter Lillian gets up on her own and is ready to go. I typically take her to school at Mountain Brook Junior High, and my son Charlie gets up after being prodded several times and drives himself to Mountain Brook High School. And then I go to work in my law firm, Friedman Dazio Zalanis, get there about 8 o'clock and typically work till 6 o'clock or later.
Now tell us more about your work. How did you decide on law? And now what is your area of practice?
My area of practice is what's generally called insurance defense litigation, which is something of a misnomer. People think that means you defend the insurance companies themselves, which I rarely do. So I give people the example of if you rear-end somebody in a car accident, you have insurance, your insurance company hires you a lawyer to defend you in a lawsuit. So most of what I do is defend people who have been sued by people who have been hurt or whose buildings have not been constructed as they wanted, things of that nature.
And how did you decide to become an attorney?
I decided fairly young that I wanted to become an attorney. I sort of leaned that way in high school. My grandfather went to law school for 1 or 2 years and then left to go serve in World War II. And both he and my grandmother on that side were always interested in politics and sort of legal issues, and that sort of pushed me in that direction. Another reason that I became a lawyer is I foolishly thought that lawyers got to play golf a lot. And it turned out that that's not necessarily the case, but I recalled as a child or as a young man seeing a lot of golfers who were lawyers, and I thought that would be my path to playing lots of golf.
This brings up a good next question. What is your favorite sport, and what are the things that you do these days to keep in shape and exercise?
My favorite sport is golf, although I played all sports growing up, which at that time were football, basketball, and baseball.
I bet you were recruited. If you could see Dan, if you've never met him, he's about 6'5". Whoa.
Shrinking every day.
So you played a lot of sports.
I did. I played all the main sports until high school, and then I started playing golf exclusively. I wasn't a great golfer, but, you know, I'm fairly decent, and I continue to love playing golf to this day, although I don't get to play as much as I'd like.
Do you have any hidden talents?
I don't know if it's hidden, but I can draw fairly well, and I also like to paint.
Are you working on anything right now?
Right now, I've started a, I guess, a copy or a Mark Rothko-inspired painting. Jenny and the kids and I took a trip to New York a couple months ago and went to the Museum of Modern Art, where they had some Rothkos and other sort of modern art paintings on display. And that inspired me to try to paint a Mark Rothko-esque painting that I'm working on now.
I am so impressed. I got to hear more about this. So how do you start a painting, and describe to us what a Mark Rothko style painting is like?
So Rothko paintings are large canvases that are typically comprised of two rectangles that sit on top of each other, and then a background. So it's not, you know, a landscape or anything like that. So since Rothkos are symmetrical and typically square, so I started with a large canvas. I don't know, it's probably 3 feet by 4 feet, roughly. I used a large ruler to form or lay out the rectangles that I intended to paint, and started painting, trying to pick the colors that I wanted to use. I've settled on a yellow rectangle on top, a green rectangle on the bottom, and sort of a light green background for those, although I haven't gotten to the second rectangle or the background yet. I was somewhat inspired by the yellow and green of the masters.
We have to see a picture of this. So when I post your picture on Instagram, I want to see the unfinished work at least. Is that a possibility?
Well, that inspires me to get it finished. Or at least get the second rectangle finished so we can... Right now you have a large yellow rectangle on a white canvas.
Did someone see your gift for painting and drawing, or was it just something that brought you joy over the years?
My mom and my dad both are somewhat artistic. My mom probably more so. She paints, she quilts, she's painted pictures of my children and of her, I guess, her nieces and nephews' children, and she painted, you know, throughout her life. So I guess my mom is really my inspiration for that, although my dad is, you know, also artistically inclined.
What are some things that your kids have done or you've done with your kids that have brought you joy over the years?
Probably the one thing that I enjoyed most in raising my kids was coaching their sports. It's one of those things you don't know how much you miss it until it's gone. So I coached Charlie from the age he was 3 up until junior high, coached soccer, which I knew nothing about, and baseball, and coached Lillian in basketball, a little bit in soccer. So I just enjoy interacting with the kids, and I'm competitive, and whether I know anything about the sport or not, I'm pretty good at motivating people to win.
Love that. Let's dive into your life of faith. How did you come to faith, and what has that journey been like with the Lord?
I grew up in the church, First Baptist Church of Statesville. Attended youth group and trips and regularly attended church. My parents were both deacons, so we had a strong faith in our home. I remember when I was 8 or 9 years old, we had a revival with an outside preacher who came to our church. And I remember that I, in my heart, had accepted the Lord as my Savior. But I was too chicken to walk down the aisle to the front to be baptized. So a funny story, most Sundays, I would be standing near the aisle. And when the time came for people to go down front, my mom would start elbowing me, trying to push me into the aisle. And I never walked down front during that time. And I was ultimately baptized here at Mountain Brook Baptist by Dr. James Mobies shortly after I graduated from law school.
So even during the revival, you said, no, can't do it.
In my heart, I knew that, you know, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but I didn't make that public profession of faith. And you know, I regret not doing it sooner, honestly. But I think the fact that it took me longer also made me appreciate it more when I did it. Jim Mobies was a very instrumental in both Jenny and I deciding to join Mountain Brook Baptist. He was a friendly man. I remember meeting him, you know, soon after we started attending, and wonderful preacher and really instrumental in us calling this church our home.
What are some of your favorite or meaningful moments in worship or when you were serving with the church?
I mean, the most meaningful parts of the church service itself to me are, number one, the music program. I think Kelly does an amazing job. Our choir is spectacular. I mean, we have soloists in the choir who you can hear above the choir, you know, every Sunday. And it's such a blessing and a gift to be able to listen to such inspired and really high quality music during the service. The other really moving part of our services to me is Wayne's inspired preaching. You know, I've known Wayne ever since he started attending Mount Brook Baptist, and it's been a pleasure to see him grow in his speaking ability and his preaching. And he has a true passion for the message that he brings. And his passion translates to the congregation, because when you see someone who is so convicted of what they're saying, it's hard not to be convicted yourself.
What has God been teaching you in this season of life?
So God has been teaching me to rely on Him for all things, to trust in Him, to understand that He's in control and you're not, to not fret or worry about things, which is, you know, sometimes hard to do, but in difficult times and in good times, you know, He's been inspiring me or directing me to put faith and trust in His ultimate plan.
Which kind of lends itself to another question. What's one way that you connect with the Lord, or a way that He's been shaping you through spiritual disciplines?
The way I've been connecting with the Lord most over the past couple of years is I've been teaching Sunday school. Got asked by another Sunday school teacher if I would teach a lesson, and I'm the type of person where I may not volunteer to do something, but if you ask me to do something, I'm likely to do it.
Like the podcast.
Like the podcast. So it's, I mean, teaching has really been a blessing, because, you know, you really learn more teaching, or at least I do, than listening. So studying the Bible, really digging into the text and what it means, has been beneficial to me. And it's caused me to read the Bible more frequently, to really try to understand what the message is, you know, and try to live into that.
What is the name of your class, and where do you meet?
So our class is the fellowship class. We meet on the second floor, or second floor and a half.
It's kind of confusing. 2A, which is
2A.
Over the gym, right?
It's near the gym.
Yes.
It's, yeah, so if you're going downstairs towards the gym, we're the last door on the left. So we have a growing class. We have a lot of new members who have joined the church and who are in our class. We have four teachers, actually five teachers that we rotate. And it's good to have, you know, different teachers for a different perspective, a different style. And it's an interactive class where, you know, people comment and ask questions, and it's really been a blessing.
Dan, is there a scripture that has been meaningful to you?
Yes, there has been, Mary. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, which says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His almighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
Thank you so much, Dan, for joining the podcast and for sharing with us about your life and faith. I learned a lot of new things. I can't wait to see your painting, and I'm thankful for the ways that you are reminding us that God calls us to be a people who do not worry but entrust ourselves to Him. Would you end our time together with prayer?
I'd be glad to, Mary. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins. Thank you for your grace and our salvation. I pray that these words bring glory to you and that our hearts are always open to receive your guidance. I pray all these things in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.